The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Baba Yakubu and Priscilla Ozuanza. In the headlines, government secures $48 million to execute second phase of University of Ghana Teaching Hospital. Dr. Papa Kwesi Ndum of PPP demands 5 minutes discussion with EC boss over disqualification. Farmers advised to venture into short lifespan crops to minimize yields following change in rainfall pattern. UNFPA calls on developing countries to prioritize girls' education. And UN warns of extreme risk of widespread violence in DR Congo following postponement of presidential polls. The news in detail. The University of Ghana's 650-bed capacity hospital built at the cost of $217 million will be completed and handed over to government next month. Government has also secured $48 million for the completion of the second phase, which is a 400-bed capacity. This came to light when the Vice President Kwesi Emisa Afa paid a working visit to the facility. He described the teaching hospital as unique, says AYA report.
The project coordinator of the University of Ghana Teaching Hospital, Professor Aaron Lawson, accompanied by the Vice Chancellor of the University, Professor Ebenezer Odro Owusu, took the Vice President round the teaching hospital, which is made up of 7 well-equipped buildings constituting the first phase. Professor Lawson briefed Mr. Emisa Afa on the genesis of the project and the role of Professor John Evans Atta-Mills' government.
President John Evans Atta-Mills came to the University of Ghana campus to cut the sod to mark its beginning. Then in June 2011, the government of Ghana secured a loan from a bank in Israel for the construction and equipping of a 617-bed hospital facility for the University of Ghana. The process went through cabinets and parliamentary approvals. And then we had a value for money audit process, which ended in June 2012. In November 2012, the commercial agreement was signed between the Ministry of Health and the contractor, Meses Engineering and Development Consultants Limited of Israel. We mobilized to site on the 1st of April 2013, and it's a fixed-term, fixed-price contract.
Vice President Emisa Afa said government in the near future will put up a similar facility for the northern sector.
Very impressive. It's well laid out, and I think that what is happening here is also unique in the sense that it is a publicly funded public agency that is trying to reach out to people who normally would not use public facilities, people who would normally go out of this country for medical care. And we are also hoping that there will be medical tourism. And so we are going to be training people here who will have state-of-the-art equipment and be working with the best people, the best skills that are around globally. And so we are setting up a unique hospital with the best facilities and hopefully will employ the best Ghanaian medical people to work here.
As part of the project, a number of Ghanaian health professionals have undergone a short-term hands-on training at the Sheba Medical Center in Israel. They are expected to constitute a critical mass of staff to be engaged when the teaching hospital commences operations. Seth Iyer, reporting for Radio Ghana.
Meanwhile, authorities at the University of Ghana, Legon, have confirmed to Radio Ghana that the first phase of the University of Ghana Teaching Hospital is being financed by the government through a $217 million loan facility secured from Israel. The project coordinator of the hospital, Professor Aaron Lawson, said the government has also secured an additional $48 million for the second phase of the project. He said the university has demonstrated the capacity to pay back the loan to government. He announced that more than 2,000 people will be engaged to work in the facility when completed.
It was the government of Ghana that secured the loan, a $217 million loan to build this facility for the University of Ghana. It wasn't the University of Ghana that secured the loan. And government is paying the $217 million. They've already started paying it. Now, we are securing a second loan of $48 million. and we've shown our capacity to pay for this loan. You know, so it's different from the $217 million.
So the 48 is the one secured by Legon itself?
No, by the government of Ghana, but we will pay for it. We have made provision for 2,806 staff. We would be outsourcing some of our services. The board is yet to take a final decision on services which are non-core for the hospitals. But on the whole, we are planning to engage 2,806 members of staff. Public Services Commission has given us permission to recruit half for the time being, you know, because we'll start modestly and build up. We are working with finance for financial clearance, and then we will start the recruitment exercise. So we are currently going to recruit 1,403. It's going to start now. I've heard that finance has taken a decision, so they are here to communicate to us. So once they communicate their decision to us, we will start the recruitment.
That was Project Coordinator of the University of Ghana Teaching Hospital, Professor Aaron Lawson.
Flag bearer of the Progressive People's Party, PPP, Dr. Papakwesi Indum, has asked the chairperson of the Electoral Commission to grant him 5 minutes audience to clear issues surrounding his disqualification. At a media briefing at the party's headquarters in Accra, Dr. Indum attributed the problem with the forum to administrative errors which can be solved amicably. Dr. Indum indicated that the party will only resort to legal means if the meeting with the EC chairperson does not change the current situation.
Commission, specifically the returning officer for the presidential election, who also happens to be the chairperson of the EC, to allow the opportunity to meet with me to rectify any anomaly identified in the nomination papers amicably. I have had a full discussion with my lawyers, and we have reviewed the documents that we filed, which was just given to us today. They are in just some short, small sections in those 2 pages. And so, with all due respect, we believe that the issue we have here is not a matter of some fraudulent behavior on anybody's part, but an administrative or clerical matter that can be rectified quite simply. Based on the evidence that I have with me, which is in here, a 5 minute discussion with Mrs. Charlotte Osei, the returning officer, will result in me being cleared to contest this December 7, 2016 election of the presidential.
Dr. Indum alleged that some other aspirants facing similar circumstances have been allowed to sort out their problems, therefore he too deserves such opportunity. He stated their next line of action if the issues are not resolved amicably.
I understand that Mrs. Charlotte Osei is not in the class today. So through this medium, I am asking the chairperson of the EC and the returning officer to let me know by the end of this week, Friday this week, when we can meet to deal with this matter publicly, because I believe that it is a simple administrative or clerical matter that can be resolved. Just as it has been done, just as it has been done for some of the other people who tried to contest to become presidential candidates. And we even know that someone has even been given until tomorrow to deal with the issues that he encountered, and that some other contestant was not able to pay their filing fee, a stipulated time, and has been cleared to contest the election. My lawyers agree that there is another option. By that option, I, Papa Kwesi Indum, do not want. I in no way want to disrupt the industrial process.
Flag bearer of PPP, Dr. Papa Kwesi Indum.
President John Mahama has challenged the opposition MPP to tell Ghanaians how many was spent on the redenomination of the national currency, the cedi. He said after so many years, the MPP has not been able to make this known, yet it is the first to raise unfounded criticism when it comes to issues on the economy. Addressing party faithful at the start of the second phase of the Greater Accra campaign tour, President Mahama asked the electorates to remain focused. Pascaline Adadivo reports.
The second phase of the Greater Accra campaign tour began with a bang as many trooped out to join in the frenzy. The campaign train stopped at the Kaneshi Market, Bubuashi, Atiku, Kokompe and Sadama in the Okaikwe Central Constituency. Later at separate rallies, President Mahama launched perhaps the hardest attack yet on the opposition MPP. He wondered how they put out a lot of misinformation and baseless criticisms without thinking that nemesis would catch up with them.
Deficit Omufi Abaimu Ekwa Omujaye was the highest in the history of the world. 19% deficit. No Ghanaian knows the cost of the redenomination exercise. Then the same person and people come and stand and say somebody is incompetent. You're incompetent. Musa Sikano, how much did it cost us? Simple thing like this, you can't tell us. And you have the nerve to come and talk about corruption.
After calling on the chief imam at his Fadama residence, President Mahama proceeded to address another rally at the Fadama School Park. He asked particularly the Zango community to ignore the many promises being preached by the MPP regarding the setting up of a Zango fund and the like. He asked a rhetoric question as to what the MPP in their 8 years did to transform the various Zangos. President Mahama said government has in many forms shown some commitment to their cause in a number of policies, and what it intends to do is to channel a number of social protection programs to poor households, including the Zongos.
The same people
President Mahama advised the Zango youth not to be deceived by anyone who tells them he will put money into their pockets, but rather strive to acquire some skills to earn some income. The president announced the asphalting of the Kaneshi to Dakuman Road, as well as other roads in the vicinity. The parliamentary candidate for Kaikwe Central, Abdul Rashid Issa, was introduced.
That was Pascaline Adadevo reporting.
The 2016 presidential candidate of the NPP, Nana Akufo-Addo, has debunked rumors that he, Nana Addo, and the NPP are tribalistic, saying the party does not hate Muslims as is being rumored. Nana Addo was speaking at Nima during the third leg of his Greater Accra regional tour. He reiterated the NPP's plan of establishing a Zongo development fund if the party wins power.
I'm going to go to the house. The first budget of the Akufo-Addo presidency, Zongo Development Fund, the Dibaba Shemu, it's not the fire.
That was the NPP presidential candidate Nana Akufo-Addo.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana Accra. The major stories: government secures $48 million to execute second phase of University of Ghana Teaching Hospital. Dr. Papa Kwesi Indum of PPP demands 5 minutes discussion with EC boards over disqualification. Farmers advised to venture into short lifespan crops to maximize yield following change in rainfall pattern. UNFPA calls on developing countries to prioritize girls' education, and UN warns of extreme risk of widespread violence in DR Congo following postponement of presidential polls.
Principal meteorologist James Bisou says the rainfall in the Middle Belt and Southern Sector will be intense and frequent, but the rains will soon fade out in the Northern Belt. Mr. Bisou has therefore advised farmers to cultivate crops with short lifespan in order to have good yields. He also asked those living in waterlogged areas to relocate to higher grounds. Mr. Bisou asked people to pay attention to water and sanitation issues to avoid the outbreak of diseases. He spoke to George Ankra.
So now we realize that country comes on the second half of the rainy season, particularly for the middle and coastal areas, while the north will also be having some rains, but they will be getting out of the rainy season because they normally have a peak one peak rainy season during the year. So for the northern half, for the northern sector, their rains will be becoming smaller or they will be reducing in amount, while for the middle sector and the coastal areas, they will have a little more rain till some parts of November before the atmosphere gives way for the Harmattan or the dry condition. So for the middle areas, we expect in the coast more rains during 1 month or 1.5 months later.
And what advice are you giving the farmer folk in these areas, the middle belt and the southern sector?
Yes, it's very difficult to tell the kind of amounts of rainfall that we are going to receive because due to these changes in the climate that all normally here of these days, we will be having either scanty rainfall over some areas or over more than normal rainfall over at other areas. So what we would have to advise, they should be able to determine what crops are going to do well during later part or during this season, that we have to know which crops that are going to do well, if the rains are going to be more or they are going to be scanty.
But if you tell us that the rainfall pattern in the middle belt and the southern belt will continue for some time, what is the rain going to be like? Are they going to be heavy?
Yeah, for some time there will be heavy rains. Sometimes they'll be less than heavy or slight moderate. We cannot particularly say for now because weather patterns are changing, and as and when we have the systems or we have the models, we can be able to determine how the rains are going to be for those particular days. But for a long period of time, it is a little more difficult or the outcomes less that accurate.
Apart from farmers, we have some people living in low-lying areas who are seriously affected when it drizzles. Is there any advice you want to give them?
Yeah, for those persons living in those low-lying areas, they should realize that as for rains, as long as there is, there will be rains, and they would always seek those low-lying areas. So they should rather decide to get away from those low-lying areas to higher ground, so that they are not affected by these flooding that periodically occurs, because these things are going to be with us for a long time, unless something different happens as how the water channels are directed. But those low-lying areas are natural areas which the water will always stick to pass. So it's better to get to higher ground than to continue living in those low-lying areas, because for these things, it's going to be very difficult to rechannel these waters. So they should advise themselves and seek higher ground. That's
James Disu is a principal meteorologist. The findings of a research into identifying gaps, opportunities and priorities in the eradication of hunger in Ghana and Africa have been outdoored in Accra. The move is part of action geared towards ensuring food security, ending hunger and malnutrition by the year 2025. The report revealed that until the agriculture sector is given the needed attention, all efforts aimed at eradicating hunger will be fruitless. We bring you more in this report by Priscilla Owusu-Anza.
The research, titled Assessment of the Enabling Environment for the Achievement of Food and Nutrition Security for All in Ghana, said Ghana has made significant strides at reducing hunger and malnutrition. However, there is still much to be done, as some regions, such as the Northern and Upper West, have recorded increased hunger and poverty. Presenting findings of the research, a professor at the University of Development Studies, Sadito, said one dominant challenge that came out is that food production between 2004 to 2013 declined drastically, resulting in high importation levels.
The fact that there is a general decrease in poverty is not uniform, and we need to look at this with more care. There are actually quite two sectors. The north-south divide two sectors. The rural-urban divide, in terms of poverty, still on. The female male divide is still there, and those gaps need to be bridged. All of the three are very important if we really want to actually reduce poverty. Food insecurity one, which are poverty controls, serious problems, individual regions, as well as rural areas, and among many women, especially rural women. The clear indication is that if we target the northern rural woman, I'm pretty sure about the poverty line, in fact, all others will be about the poverty.
The FAO representative in Ghana, Dr. Abebe Haile Gabriel, believes there is the need for countries to create partnership, as the cost of eradicating hunger is a burden that must be shared.
We need to accelerate progress towards the eradication of hunger and malnutrition. In the next 15 years, an additional investment of $160 per year per person, living in extreme poverty, to end hunger. We have to pursue this objective not only by strengthening and reinforcing our ongoing initiatives program, but also by thinking out of the box, transcending conventional thinking on the nature of social and economic actors, and supporting innovative solutions capable of empowering the most in need.
The Deputy Minister for Food and Agriculture in charge of crops, Dr. Yakubu Al-Hassan, whose speech was read for him, described the research as an important move, as it goes a long way to help review food, nutrition, security trends, the progress made, and the way forward. He encouraged more people, especially the youth, to go into agriculture, as it is the major sector that can alleviate hunger.
Priscilla also answered reporting.
The United Nations Fund for Population Activities, UNFPA, says appointing some percentage of women in high offices is not enough to bridge the inequality gap between men and women. The proper data to check the progress of young girls through the education ladder has also not been prioritized by governments in developing countries. Hence, the retrogression of girls in almost all aspects of development. UNFPA country director to Ghana, Dr. Babatunde Ahonsi, who expressed these sentiments as part of activities to mark the day of the girl child in Accra, said girls are an important population instrument, and so their well-being must attract the utmost attention by all governments across the world. Erabna Paha reports.
Focusing on the world free of discrimination against young women and girls, the global community is acknowledging the importance of the girl child and why they must be given all the attention and support in order for them to grow in every aspect of their lives. In Ghana, the United Nations Fund for Population Activities, UNFPA, has partnered the Hope for Future Generations to celebrate the day. UNFPA Country Director in Ghana, Dr. Babatunde Ahonsi, said girls are important for their role in socioeconomic development.
Issues like child marriage, this is a problem in Ghana and the rest of this region. Teenage pregnancy, child labor, sexual and gender-based violence, discrimination, gender inequality, limited access for education and health care. We do celebrate Ghana in the UN in terms of the efforts that have been made to advance the life chances of girls and women.
Executive Director of Hope for Future Generations, Cecilia C., said countries must adopt a meaningful strategy that is at the heart of global development to meet the current needs of the girl child.
Commitment to help women and young girls unleash progress across society is done. The media has also joined this platform to get the voice of the voiceless heard, so we can all exercise our rights, but clearly the rights of women and young people, and play our role to make the world a better place for all.
Reports indicate that more than 700 million children are married below age 18, and some 250 million also married off before age 15 worldwide.
Erabna Paha reporting. On the foreign front, the Democratic Republic of Congo is at risk of descending into widespread violence. UN envoy Mamadou Sidiku said threats to the 18,000-strong peacekeeping mission there outstripped its capacities. Violent protests are broken out over the postponement of presidential polls. The opposition accuses President Joseph Kabila of trying to claim to power beyond the end of his term, which is due to expire in December. And shares in Samsung fell further yesterday after the company said it will scrap production of its flagship Note 7 model. Shares fell by 3% at the open, adding to yesterday's 8% fall. The company has seen more than $20 billion wiped off its market value in 2 days. The Note 7 was recalled after exploding batteries in September, but new phones showed the same problems. To end the news, the major stories. The University of Ghana's 650-bed capacity hospital built at the cost of $217 million will be completed and handed over to government next month. Government has also secured $48 million for the completion of the second phase, which is a 400-bed capacity. Papakwisi. PPP's Dr. Papakwisi Indum has asked the Electoral Commission to grant him a 5-minute audience to clear issues surrounding his disqualification. Dr. Indum said the problem with the form is an administrative one that can be resolved amicably. Dr. Indum indicated that the party will only take a legal action if the meeting with the EC chairperson fails. And the Democratic Republic of Congo is in danger of descending into widespread violence as protests have broken out over the postponement of presidential polls. The news was presented by Priscilla Ozuanza
and Baba Yakubu in Accra.